kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Blue Justice. I'm your host, David. And as always, Blue Justice brought to you by LESMA, Law Enforcement and Supporters for Media Accountability, and brought to you live and archived only on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to think of a way to say this and get it through as clearly as possible. I really would hate for there to be a misconception. Or a misunderstanding amongst listeners, both now and in the future when they listen to it, on my feelings, my personal feelings on this topic, and I'm going to say as president and CEO of the organization, remember, not just a Facebook page, that it is the company's standing in this matter. And that is this: when it comes to politics, fuck your feelings. It's pretty much simple, right? Okay, let me tell you what I mean by that. I don't give a fuck. When I'm on the page and I'm telling you what my opinion is, and I say, fuck this guy for XYZ, guess what? That's my opinion of how I feel as an individual, and fuck you. Now, if a whole bunch of you want to chime in and say you agree, wonderful. And if a whole bunch of you want to chime in and say you disagree, wonderful. But when you start chiming in and saying you're an asshole, you're a dick, to either myself or anyone else who's commenting, I got an issue with that. We don't do that here. That's not what this is about. You're more than likely... for the most part, members in the group, you're more than likely not going to do that because we're all, good people, decent people. And you're going to voice your opinion, which is awesome. It stirs debate. It creates dialogue. It stimulates people's intellect. It tickles one's mind. And that is great. It gets creative juices flowing. And it actually sometimes, although it can get a little heated, can create bonds amongst people. In-depth conversation on any topic can do that, and it's great. But when you're going to attack somebody one way or the other that's in the group, don't do it. I mean, I don't care if you want to attack the politician. That's fine. We can attack them all. I got no problem with that. But when you're attacking people and we're members of the same group for the same cause and you're going to attack each other either way, yeah, no, go fuck yourself. You can start your own group and do that. You're not doing that here. And here's the problem. We got some people who don't like Trump. We got some people who don't like Cruz. We got some people who don't like, Iran Paul. We got some people who don't like Carson. We got some people, we have a lot of people that don't like Hillary and Sanders. And I'm sure we have a few that actually do, unfortunately. But here's the deal. Infighting is what ruins it. Problem number one, the Republicans have and always have. I don't know if you noticed it, but it's common sense here. So we have fielded in the last two elections, and now going into this will be third, way too many candidates. And this is what happens. You get 10% to go here, you get 20% to goes there, you get 2% that goes there, you get 39% that goes there, and now you're split. And then it creates a lot of infighting amongst the parties, which generates a lot of emotion amongst those who side with one side. And then when that candidate chooses to be out at whatever given time, like, for example, Rand Paul is now out, there's going to be a split amongst his 2-3% of the people that he had. And again, it's not a large number, but there's going to be a split. Where do they go? What do they do? Who do they go to? Somewhat eases if their party says, hey, you know, this is who we're going to support now that we're out. Not completely, but it does get a little better. Here's the issue, though. It's infighting. When we're fighting with each other, we're causing this problem. It's called fucking debate. So, like on today's program with our most recent asshole in the group who I booted, which we should have known was going to happen because his last name is Dix. I mean, I'm just telling you, it kind of tells you what you're dealing with. You know, you have to understand it's speech. It's great. So everyone's allowed to have it, and it's free and it's protected, and we're having it here. Don't go attacking people. Don't talk to a group as they're stupid. They're not stupid or ignorant because they back a certain person or a certain belief. You know, I mean, that's not what it is. You be careful with your words, and I'm not playing games for you to say, I'm sorry, fuck you, you're gone. Okay, it's no different than the asshole last night who bitched about why government should be involved in gay rights. What do you mean by gay rights? Gay shouldn't have rights? I mean, if you want to get into the debate of gay marriage, that's fine, we can do that. But gay rights, I'm pretty sure the gays have rights because they're American citizens. We're all protected by certain rights because we're citizens. So I think what he meant was marriage, but again, you're stirring something else up in people's emotions by being a retard and not being proper in what you say. That said, it goes into everything. It goes into the fact that there were other groups out there, and some of them are funny because they don't like us because we're very accurate, one of them in particular, commenting on these officers shot in the NYPD and one's likely to die and the suspects are still on the loose in the city, and it was coming over at midnight. It was all over. The officers were out of surgery. Everyone's fine. One guy killed himself. The other one's giving a confession in the detective squad. There is nothing to worry about. Wrapped up, done deal, goodbye. And yet some people claim, you know, they're the best law enforcement site in America, in the world, and they're on top of their shit, and they know everything, and they don't. Just be careful with what you word and how you word it. It happens. We make mistakes, too. I got it. Own up to it when you do. But don't belittle people. Now, I'm a full believer in once you open up Pandora's box, you're going to get bombarded. I've done it to several people on that same thread last night. You're going to get bombarded, and then I'm going to throw you the fuck out. And the only reason why I'm going to bombard you is you should not just be kicked out and not know that it's not going to come back to you. I don't want you going with the impression that you can talk shit in the room and then leave. You can't. You're casting a stone. You're going to have a bunch of them thrown back at you, and then you're going to be on your way. And you're going to be left unable to counter and unable to fight back and pissed off and enraged like the asshole from yesterday was. And I'm going to do that to you as a gift. Because I'm laughing at the fact that you're getting angry. That's my gift to you. I'm laughing. You're pissed off. You're unable to do anything. But you know what? It's kind of like the same feeling in reverse. Because Lord knows people don't deserve to be abused for no reason. So you're going to come in here and talk your shit, you're going to get the same treatment and get thrown the fuck out. It's just the way it is. I'm protecting my people. See it how you want. But, you know, it is what it is. See, here's the deal. I don't care who the fuck you back. Let's not derail ourselves from the mission we're at because we're a group. You can be pro-law enforcement and support anyone the fuck you wish. I got no issue with that. No one, I don't think anyone does. But let's not fight with each other over it, for Christ's sakes. We're not going to be doing anyone any fucking favors if we can't fucking get our act together. And that's what we need to do here. We need to get our act together, plain and simple. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't like Cruz. I did like Cruz. And I'll be honest with you, until recently I didn't realize he was, or I overlooked, the fact that he was one of the guys that failed to sign off on the Zadruga Act, Zadruga Bill. That really hits home close to me due to my personal involvement with 9/11 and the recovery efforts and illnesses and family and loss of friends from 9/11, from the aftermath of 9/11, and I've personally seen what it is. And the Zadruga Act does not just cover 9/11. It covers future incidents too. And the Zadruga Act does not just cover cops and firefighters, as one douchebag was nice enough to say, oh, fucking cops and firefighters, and they're getting their stuff. Really? You're in a pro-support group, and you're putting that out there, and then complaining how there's even fucking cops who responded or were sent down there from the town you live in fucking butt-fuck Idaho or wherever the hell you were from, and fuck them for being... No one's faking this, guys. It's real. I know most of you know. But this bill is also designed to help and save the electricians that were pulled down there and that were sent down there, and the steel workers that were sent down there, the sand hogs that were sent down there, you know, the masons that were sent down there to work and help in securing that seawall so Lower Manhattan didn't get flooded, because that's right, there's a seawall that was built, and then this was built on top of it. So it helps a lot of different people, architects, engineers, rescue crews from all over the country that went, and people are sick. People are sick, really sick. But this is what happens. And the government lied to them, which was part of the issue. The government lied to them and said, hey, air's good, air's clean, nothing wrong, here's the results. They found out the results were forged. Those were not the results, that people were editing the results. People were throwing out samples and taking their own samples in other places, mislabeling samples. And guys got sick. Women got sick. Guys died. The increase in first responders, as per the government's own results, own studies, and we're talking first responders, not... Yeah, I'm saying first responders to this incident. So I'm not even saying cops. Civilians affected, who are, by the way, covered under the Zadruga Act, that were there that day and affected. Cops, firefighters, electricians, steel workers, people from as far away as people from Canada that came down, do have a way in which they can go through getting coverage. And a lot of people came from Canada to help. Cops, firefighters, again, steel workers, construction workers. Regular civilians who just came in from across the country just to help dig, work bucket piles, are all covered under this. They did a study on all these people. There's increased birth defects. There's increased amount of children being born with ailments such as dyslexia and ADHD. Which are all orders within the autistic spectrum. These are coming from people who are young and in good shape and have no family history of any of these disorders, that have been married and had children after the incident, and children are being born with these, which in the general population not affected by 9/11, when they compare these numbers, drastic difference. Same thing with diabetes. And they think that's because it's damage to the pancreas, thyroid diseases and cancers, as well as brain tumors and rare lung cancers and rare brain tumors that are normally seen in elderly people, that now people in their 30s and 40s are getting it. Or I should say that's when they're discovering it. And they're removing tumors the size of handballs and chestnuts and walnuts from their heads, and it's affecting their lives drastically. Suicide rates, extremely high. Look at law enforcement and first responders compare in 9/11 committing suicide compared to A, the regular civilian population, and B, the regular law enforcement and first responder population that did not work or take action or get involved in the day and first several days afterwards through the roof. That being said, there's an issue, and that bill was to cover it. Yes, they called it pork. Somebody said in the page, again, Mr. Dick said it in the page. Oh, it wasn't signed because of pork. Yes, there was pork. There's pork in every bill. Let's get that straight. There's pork in every bill they put in. But the pork was to put, in this case, was to put more money into the bill. Their reason in not signing it was, we feel there's enough money there and there's still 3 years left or 2 years left on the bill. There's enough money in there, provided nothing else happens. And then when something else happens, it's going to be wiped out. And every day, there's more and more people that are getting sick or dying and qualifying for this. So those numbers are drastically increasing. And the money's drastically dwindling. And unlike one asshole said, it's not to make money to live fat off the hog. These people, their quality of life is destroyed. Plain and simple. I only hope and wish some of these ailments would fall on some of these assholes that say this. Let them sit there and look at their kid, who's maybe born with a birth defect or suffering from dyslexia or ADHD or Asperger's or whatever the case may be. I'd love to see the look on their face as they watch that kid affected playing on the fucking floor. Knowing that that kid's life is permanently affected and your government turned its back on you, where you did nothing, you did something no one else would do. Sick and tired of the Monday night quarterbacks, the ones who are pussies and don't have the balls to stand up and do it themselves. But they'll bitch when brave men and women stand and do it. And I'm not just talking cops, I'm talking even civilians that stood up and answered the call of their people. No different than war. Fuck. We started this war on terror. Soldiers, airmen, corpsmen, Coast Guardsmen, puddle pirates, sailors, they were all fucking heroes. Now people are getting fed up. They don't want it anymore. They're assholes now. They're baby killers. We're a sad group of people, us Americans nowadays. Fucking despicable, to be honest with you. And it's going to change, it's got to change, and it will change. It'll probably change with the next election, no matter who gets in, one way or the other. But that being said, don't sit here and argue with anybody about who it is they want to put in that office to make that change. To be honest with you, yes, even Cruz himself, any of the candidates on the Republican side, are better than what we have running on the Democratic side or in the White House now. So maybe if we keep focus on that, keep our focus and hatred on that, keep arguing on that, we'd move forward. Candidates will dwindle down and drop out, as happens. We're still quite a ways out. And we'll have our one or two standing. That's all that matters. And eventually there will be just one. That's where the focus has to be. I'm sorry, train of thought. My daughter just walked into the room and tossed my train of thought here, so you got to give me a second, people. We're dealing with snow in New York, so they canceled the schools. This is more or less where we have to stand, and move forward from here. If we don't unify and stand together, we're lost. You're going to lose your election. You're going to lose everything you have. The whole angle is gone. I mean, you see it in the room if you watch the thread. You have people that are basically saying, I support law enforcement. I was in this group because I thought it was great, but you don't agree with what I agree with, so I want to leave. Really? I love the work this group does, and I joined it because I know a lot of people in it, but now that you put this about Cruz, I'm sorry, I have to leave. I disagree. Really? This is sad. This is sad. We obviously have a lot of immature people. And maybe the reason why we're in this mess
is not because of the Democrats. Maybe it's because we have too many fucking morons like that on the Republican side. That's why we can't get one in. I mean, when you come to a group and you say, I like the group, I have friends in the group, I'm a strong supporter of cops, I'm a strong supporter of the group, oh, but hell no, you went against Cruz, I gotta leave. Really? Maybe what you have to do is fucking dance on some train tracks and wait for the bright light to pass you by. I mean, you're fucking useless. Are you kidding me? You're doing more damage, not only to Cruz's campaign, if you're that much of a supporter, but the entire Republican Party. Not to mention the damage you're doing to law enforcement in allegedly being a supporter. You're doing no good to anybody. You need to pack your shit up and move on. Which brings me to another point. When you announce that you're going to leave a room, you're really just showing yourself to be a fucking child. Sorry to say. But that's like, hi, I'm taking my ball and I'm going to go home because, you know, you won't let little Johnny play. I mean, that's what that is. So take your fucking ball, get the fuck out of the sandbox, go to fuck home and don't return. And by the way, putting that in the room, just so you know, be careful with that. Mean it. Because I, and I've instructed other admins as well, will immediately remove you. There is no discussing it. And when I get that personal message saying, why did you remove me and I didn't mean it, I'm still not putting you back. It's not happening. You're going to do that. And you know what? That's bullshit and drama and all that other stuff. But when you're going to do that, you're going to deal with that. You're gone, okay? We're all adults here. So when you throw your shit out there, as cool as it is, when you throw your shit out there, just be ready to deal with it. Because if I throw shit out there, I got to deal with it. So, you know, we're done with that. That's my big thing. Politics, I understand it. They make strange bedfellows. I got it. You don't want to mix politics and friendship. It's like talking religion. I got all that. But you know what? When we're supporters, we, you know, and we're, you know, comrades in a certain fight or whatever, however you want to look at it, we have to stand united at the mission, the main goal. The main goal while we're here is not politics. We can talk it all day. It's supporting police. You know, we're getting back into the same stupid bullshit like we did with the Oregon ranches. Who the fuck cares about them? The shooting was good. We're here for the cops. Who the fuck cares about Cruz, realistically? I'm throwing out my opinion because to me, he burnt workers. Not just him, the others included, but he's running for president. He burned first responders from 9/11. And again, I'm saying first responders in the broad aspect, even the civilians. The teachers and school kids that were at the grade school that was located a block and a half away, that were evacuated and walked through that dust that are coming up sick. Of course, they're not in grade school anymore. They're in high school, college, whatever, depending on whatever age they were. You have two high schools that are right in the area there, too, those kids. Are the ones they're finding, you know, that are getting older through college, having kids, and they're finding the birth defects in them, you know, in their kids. So it's not just a cop thing. It needs to be out there. Think of it what you want, pork or whatever. The reality is the bill, there's no bill that's 100%. We know that. Unfortunately, that's the government we're in, and that's got to change. But the bill is a good bill. It
David,
needed to be done. It was, yeah.
You've got Ken on the line. Ken is like, he won't talk until I announce him. So he's just
Ken,
sitting here waiting.
Ken, get in here and stop. Friday is your show.
I'm a
David
guest. Thank
you
very
you.
Much.
No,
but,
you're not a guest. Friday's your show. I told you that.
I don't want to butt in while David's talking about Cruz, and he has a very, very valid point. that if Cruz didn't sign into that bill, and I didn't follow it, but if he failed to sign it, he certainly lost a lot of police and fire and first responders, like you indicated, and they have a rather large sphere of influence, cops and firemen and all that business, because and they vote. They vote more than these people that get out and piss and moan and groan about everything. And I think I think the tenets of LESMA would certainly lend itself towards bringing out these things about Cruz and about how he did not support that bill. Okay, there was a little in that. Okay, fine. There's pork and all that stuff. All these little individual congressmen and senators, they tack on little dribs and drabs for all these little pet projects they have, bridges to nowhere and roads in the middle of a desert or a, you know, cornfield or something. And, I guess the object is to get folks back to work, but that's all good, fine, and dandy. But I'm thinking that if he didn't sign off on that bill, I'd like to hear his reasons. And he's been strangely quiet on that as far as I know. David, maybe you could help me out on that. Maybe he did address it, or did he not?
Well, listen, as far as I know, there has been no mention of him addressing it. It's basically been a moot point. And you know what? Let's bring up another thing. People are talking about, oh, it's politics that it was brought up. The article that was posted was not posted by politics. I mean, it was by media. Someone took a grab of it. I mean, of course, it's politically motivated because it's election season, right? But you know, it is what it is. It's not like it's the Trump campaign coming out and saying it. It's not like it's you know, someone else coming out and saying it from like the Cruz campaign or whatever the case may be. But with that being said, what I will tell you, and I'll tell you one thing, by the way, New York Daily News, who is the one who put it out, is no huge fan of Donald Trump. I mean, it's a New York hometown paper, but they can be as liberal can be. They're not very law enforcement friendly, although they do a great job whenever we have a dead cop or a shot cop. The reality is God forbid a picture or something surfaces of a cop, falling asleep on post, whatever the case may be, which granted is all bad stuff. They're all over it, and they'll work till they can bury his career. So with that being said, I think it's important to realize that although people would say it's biased, I would be more concerned. I wouldn't be concerned about that being the case. You know, this is a paper. I mean, if anything, technically this paper is probably more for Hillary than anybody else. But you know, that's the whole point. They'll go after Trump when they have something. They'll go after Carson when they have something, and they have. And now they're going after Cruz. And because it's put out there, and it's legit, but because it's put out there, we have all these crazy Cruz supporters, cuckoo for Cruz, that are, fucking jumping on the bandwagon and trying to start shit. Listen, here's my whole point to this in my ramblings. You're talking about Cruz motive. You know, this is, another campaign's motivation. If you're going to talk about dirty tricks for campaigns, the audio was released of the Cruz campaign calling people and telling them Carson's dropping out. Vote for Cruz.
Boy, that was a low blow, wasn't it? That was kind of crummy.
It was. Oh, absolutely.
And I've seen Cruz on TV go, well, I had no knowledge of this. Well, bite my ass.
Right.
He had to know all this crap. And I saw Ben Carson, who's a fine man. I don't think he'll be our president, but he sure is a good guy. And an excellent doctor, one of the best in the world. And a good, solid, honest man. And he said, our campaigns talk to each other all the time. All I had to do was pick up the phone and ask if that was the truth. And they didn't, but they were very quick to push that out to all the, salacious, hungry idea so that they could put some crapola out there. And if that's how Cruz won that election out there, or caucus, or whatever the hell it was, it's...
I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest with you. It definitely was. You know, they even said, had he not done that to Cruz, obviously Cruz... if Cruz had not done that, Carson's number, obviously, they're saying clear cut, would have been a lot more. They're actually interviewing people now and trying to find out people who did do the switch and try to get a head count. But they're also saying it would have dropped Cruz below Trump, and Trump would have taken it. So it was dirty-handed not only against Carson, but it hurts every other campaign. Because even though people went for Trump, how many people, might have just, it screws the whole thing up. Other people are in other positions they may not have been in, plain and simple. You know, because there are people that are going to go, Carson's out. I don't like Cruz. I'm going to vote for so-and-so anyway and throw their vote somewhere else. It really pisses me off.
And it should. This is exactly the thing that Lesma should be doing, bringing this to the open. I wasn't aware of all the ins and outs of it, but you guys are right on top of that, as you should be. Had that not taken place, so the whole caucus thing was skewed. And I think you're right. Trump would have taken that. He probably was going to walk through New Hampshire, and then it's on to South Carolina. Who knows what's going to happen there? Because you got a different demographic. But we'll just have to wait and see. And Trump, in actuality, we're talking about our political views here. Trump seems to really be connecting with the electorate and the people that seem to care, and that guy's got a set of grapes too, because these Black Lives donkeys come to the damn presentation that he's making, and they start with all their baloney, and they pull up these signs and stuff. Trump just goes, get him out of here, and people will jump up and go Trump. So I think he's really connecting, and I think it scares the establishment and scares people like Cruz. And I think knowing this, as you've explained it and laid it out, so that even a guy like me can understand it, it means an awful lot. And I think if they go back and take a look at that Iowa operation, Trump's victory should have an asterisk beside it, saying dirty pool played on the other candidates. But if he didn't sign on to that bill, that's all I needed to hear, because that was the type of thing that, you're going to stick your finger in the eye of every American that supports everybody that responded to that thing. And they did. They came from all over the country, in Canada, and probably other countries as well. I'm not sure, but there was a massive response to that thing, because nothing like that's ever happened before, and hopefully it won't happen again. But I don't know, with our Department of Homeland Security, where the Secretary Jed Johnson said the other day his job is to protect Islamists from American prejudices. Well, hell, it seems like we should be protected from the Islamic extremists like San Berdu and 9/11 and the incident that happened down in, I want to say, Garland, Texas. But going the wrong damn way. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. You talk. But you're absolutely right, by the way. You're 150% right that should be where their concern lies. Their concern should be in protecting the people, and clearly it's not. And that is an issue. Homeland Security is exactly that. It's Homeland Security. Leave your opinions of people getting their feelings hurt, as far as prejudices or whatever, for your local authorities, depending how that goes, if you want to get, like you would anything else, your Department of Justice involved and all that, if there was some civil rights type of thing, fine, whatever. Homeland Security is not that. That's, if anything, that's Department of Justice. Homeland Security is just that. It's Homeland Security. But there was an emphasis on, you know, I just see it as Obama really liking the idea of Homeland Security being used as almost a national police force. And it's not. And one of the reasons why it's not, it's more or less, it's a very inadequate, it's sad to say, but it's a very inadequate service. They really don't have a grasp on much of anything. If you ever gone through TSA, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say there aren't good officers and good units within that agency. There are. A lot of them are made up of ex-military and ex-law enforcement. But there's also a large section of it, being the TSA, probably the most dominant-sized section of Homeland Security, that's as incompetent as the Keystone Cops. It is what it is. I just don't know where else to go from there. That being said, though, you know, it's like you said, you have to keep pressure on people, especially with politics. It's got to be aired out. It's got to be done. You know, it's no different than when you have places that are turning or refusing service from cops, or anything along those lines. Something has to be done. If people fail to act on that, you know, it sucks. I got it. But it needs to be done. And when you can't react, yeah, exactly. You know, and there's no need not to. We have to react on it. And you know what? You got to also. You can't react once. You know, you got. Sometimes you do something, and they react positive, and they're like, "Yes, we're going to go into this." And then all of a sudden, it dwindles down, and they don't get a hold of you anymore. Well, you got to step it up. It's not over. You know, and listen, we're having that with our recent incident with a New York City cop. Who they walked into a Smashburger restaurant over here, and they're told the clerk behind the counter throws up his hands and tells them don't shoot. You know, we go after Smashburger, whatever. They interact, they're very active, and now the last 24 hours, don't hear shit from them. You know, and it might be that they're working on it, but the reality is we have to do our action. You need to work faster. If you're not going to work at a speed that satisfies us and give us something, then I need to arrange a protest at your location. I need to arrange a demonstration at your location. I need to make it so people don't want to go there. Plain and simple. I need to make it a public outcry that your location is not doing the right thing, which will be addressed in a little bit on the Facebook page. But that's what it is. You have to keep on them because, again, corporate world is like politics. If you give them an ounce to back out, they're going to slowly back out and hope it dies down.
Sure enough, you make an excellent point. DHS is made up of a lot of former coppers and military, and these guys want to get out and rock and roll with these bastards, but they won't even let them check their goddamn Facebook and social media and tweets and stuff like that, because it may offend some civil rights group or something. Number one, they're not citizens. They're not entitled to our constitutional protections. And number two, social media is just exactly that. But getting back to the – I get off on a tangent here. But these coppers, former coppers and military, they want to do stuff. The operational level is probably fairly good. It gets bollocked up when these political appointees and political hacks are in decision-making positions where they cannot make a decision. And,
absolutely.
You know, and that's the thing that just kind of chaps my ass, that these guys just – I know there's good people in there, and the core is probably really great. But when you have a person that sets policy like Jed Johnson – who doesn't want to use social media to vet these people. And we're faced with another big an influx of these Syrian refugees. Okay, well, they fled their homeland. Why didn't they stay and fight? Because a hell of a lot of those people coming over here, David, Amanda, were nothing but able-bodied young men. Obama says, Well, everybody's afraid of a few widows and orphans. No, we're not, and grandmothers. But we could probably deal with them. But a lot of the people coming in here are able-bodied men who if they were fleeing strife and all that business, they should have signed up with, you know, whatever military group was, you know, they support, and we'll talk to the last people standing. But no, we got to open our doors, and we can see what happened in Germany, where these people are assaulting females rather openly. I was just reading something before you went on the air about Muslims think that women are good for one thing, delivering children. Well, you know, that certainly flies directly against our beliefs and our laws and our the things that we hold dear. And I'm of the opinion that once these people get entrenched here, we're going to start seeing the Sharia law and all that business coming up here. And that is why, you know, we've got to get behind somebody who shares our thoughts and our beliefs and that type of thing. But, you know, we can't go on like this. We're driving over a cliff. And there was a movement in Congress to just slow down this thing, step back, take a look at it. And then once again, the Republicans cave. Well, we don't have the votes. You know, they put it up to a little phony vote or whatever the hell they do. And they say, well, we don't have the votes, so it just piddles away. But they can get up and say, well, we tried. Well, you didn't try hard enough. You should have twisted some, you know, out of the Democrats that are there. I'm sure you could twist some arms and say, hey, look, if you don't vote for this, I'm not going to vote for your silly little bill or whatever the hell they got coming down the pike. But no, the analysis paralysis goes on, and the American taxpayer and the citizenry will feel the brunt of these people coming in here with unvetted credentials, not knowing who they are, what their thought process is. And I'm of the opinion that their thought process is, okay, we're going to get in there and sign up for all the welfare and all the gimmies that we can, and then we're going to start screwing around and blowing stuff up. So that's scary, David, and I don't know what we're going to do with it. I think somebody who has a handle on this, probably New York Police Department intelligence folks and those guys. Although I was very distressed to see something the other day where I guess the mayor, who's that, De Blasio, made it a violation of this or that to spy on the mosques. Well, you know, when you and I work dope, we go drive by dope cribs and have the tactical guys stop cars and see if we could flip somebody and stuff like that. But I don't understand this, and he doesn't either. And remember, this is the jerk that had to tell these kids how to act when police stop you or contact you. Who in the hell tells their children how to do that? Only people that teach children don't respect authority, don't listen to cops. They're meaningless. And now that we're off on that tangent, it seems like every time you open a paper, turn on the news, or check Facebook, another cop is getting shot. And I'm of the opinion that these things are a direct result of the dumbing down of the population in what police officers are trained and tasked to do. As a matter of fact, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And these people are domestic enemies of everybody. There was a police officer shot and killed a guy up in Ocala, north of Tampa, about 100 miles or so. And the media in the last sentences, the races are not identified. Well, that tells me that the people that are race baiting, if this would have been a white cop and a black offender or vice versa, that it would have been a big deal. In this instance, it was a white cop and a white violator who was killed. May God not have mercy on his soul. And they just keep going at this thing about white cop, black, you know, unarmed black, or a black guy with a knife or a gun or something, but the gun was a fake, and they should have shot him in the leg, and blah, 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 blah. I'm really getting sick of that shit, and I don't know where it's going to go from here. But I do know a couple of things. Let's talk about a couple items here, David. In the great state of Missouri, there is a movement afoot. It has been introduced by two Missouri state reps who are total boobs. One's a, and to show the equality here, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat. Crazy. And these people are going, they have introduced a bill where police officers will have to inquire, determine to the best of their ability, not asking them, to perceive race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, disability, English language proficiency, or national origin of the individual stopped. Now, what kind of bullshit is that? I don't know any police officer in the state of, in this entire country of the world that's going to try and determine somebody's gender, sexual orientation. You know, are you going to say, are you gay? Come on. How silly is that? In the first place, it's nobody's business, and we as a nation don't need to be sticking our collective noses into the traffic violator's personal life or to make what could be an arbitrary and often wrong decision about observations whether a person's gay or not. That's none of our business. I'm not interested what this guy does. And here to show the lunacy of these politicians, David, they want to use this data to go back and sue the police department for stopping gays or stopping Methodists, I guess, or people that don't speak English. How in the hell are you going to find that out, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're stopping a vehicle someplace? Just, it's absolutely crazy. This law is in effect in Illinois, and I was reading a conversation with a Chicago copper who was really aggressive. You know, stopping cars, making a lot of pinches. You know, a lot of cars that you stop at 2 in the morning, somebody in that car is wanted, or they got a gun, or they got dope, or something is wrong. And I'm thinking that's gonna put these guys out on the street where they, if they would have been stopped and taken into custody, they could have perhaps prevented a crime or perhaps even a fatality. Speaking of that, Chicago has had 50 fatalities as of the end of January. That's 50 in the month of January when it's cold and crummy. Can you just imagine what that would equate to in the spring and summer and the fall? A lot of deaths. And we all know that Chicago has some of the toughest gun laws in the country, and it is nothing but, you know, you're taking your life in your own hands when you walk out in certain portions of Chicago. That I don't have a problem going there. I've been down there many a times, but this goes to show that the stupidity of these people. They just want to keep throwing in new laws. Well, if you let the cops go, let them start making some pinches, and let them start taking some of these guns off the street, that would stop that. And that's another thing de Blasio did. He stopped the stop and frisk, which, you know, it has a lot of case law behind it, going back to Ohio versus somebody, where it's lawful for a police officer to stop and frisk somebody in a high crime area, or any place for that matter. But this stuff goes on and on and on, and they keep wanting to add silly ass laws when all we have to do is enforce the laws that we have on the books. We don't need new laws about this. We need some aggressive enforcement of the existing laws. And how your mayor and how the Chicago mayor Mr. Emanuel, who came to Chicago after being Obama's chief of staff, continues to hold his head up and look these people in the eye when they have a death rate like that. I would submit to you that, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq in the height of their of the war that we were involved in there, wars we were involved in, didn't have 50 troops die in a month. They did in Vietnam, but not in the most recent ones. And thank God for that. But those are some things. Here's another little item we'd like to talk about, if it's okay.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I thought I'd put you to sleep. Ferguson and the Department of Justice are going to enter into an agreement. The city of Ferguson, Michael Brown, all that jazz, and the start of the Black Lives Matter and the tailspin that this thing has put law enforcement in all began there, where they want to de-escalate and defuse. Well, that's all fine and dandy. The city of Ferguson, under pressure from the Justice Department, I can just imagine the heat that those guys are taking. Let's take a look at this thing. The Justice Report on the racially biased practices of Ferguson. They keep bringing this thing up. And I'm telling you, David and Amanda and everybody, it was sloppy in its investigation and flawed in its conclusion. The report draws a number of its findings on anecdotal evidence, and anecdotal means not verified. And I'm just going to dwell on this for just a second, but the Justice Department investigators they're supposed to be seasoned investigators, FBI agents and stuff like that. And one of the things that a rookie cop knows, you get two sides of the story. And a lot of these things in this report that the Justice Department did on the city was that they were racially biased, and then they give a bunch of instances where some guy was stopped by a police officer, or some guy was waiting for a bus, and the cop pulled up and says, "Hey, get your ass over here and give me your ID," blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And Ferguson police officers, and all they had to do was get that police officer in and get his side of the story, if there even was that side of a story. So it's basic police work 101. Get both sides, write it up, make your determination. And the evidence was gathered. All they had to do was call in a member of the Ferguson police department to confirm or debate the evidence, but no, that's too damn easy. And may not fit the agenda that was already set, that silly report had to conclude. So, you know, it's just another example of government overreach and government overbearing, and it's a pity that things have to come to this. And the city of Ferguson is entering into emphasizes de-escalation and avoiding force. Well, come on, David.
De-escalation is already what it's supposed to be, right? So are we just, we're just reiterating things that police already know?
Well, they want de-escalation, avoiding force. Any cop wants to avoid, explosive confrontation with anybody.
They do that anyway, right? I mean, the first thing a police officer does in a situation is try to de-escalate. Is that right?
Well, the other thing, they de-escalate the same thing.
It's the violator that has a tendency to escalate these things.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Blah blah blah. And avoiding force. Well. No cop wants to shoot anybody. None that I knew, and I knew and know a hell of a lot of them. And it's just stupid.
It is stupid, but you know what? There's another thing too. Is the reality of it is the nature of our work, and the nature of our work in law enforcement, a lot like that in the military, when dealing with situations, is force is what gets it done. When someone agrees to themselves in their head, makes up the idea that they are going to resist or fight or whatever the case may be, calling for that action to take place against them. They've already made the decision they're going to do it. You're not changing that. What stops it? Well, if you meet them with equal matching force, what you do is extend the interaction with the individual who is matching your force. What ends your force is a harder hitting one-up on the individual. Supreme Court has found that to be true, and every department goes by that standard. I do not ever, as an officer, have to use the same force you do. I'm allowed to go up a notch or two and end the situation quickly. You pull a knife, you get shot. You want to hit me, I'm going to tase you. It's that simple. You don't react to the tase, you're going to get a nightstick. It's that simple. You're going to get your ass beat. It's designed that way to end it, not to hurt you, but to end it. That is why, you know, it happens. I mean, listen, look at Japan. I know it's a whole different situation, but what would have happened if we didn't drop the bomb on them? That was the whole point. We're going to end this, and we're going to end it now, and we have the means to do it. We're going to drop the fucking bomb, and that's it. Then we're going to drop another one. And you know what? They were ready to drop another one. You know, it was just that simple. So, and they would have kept doing it until it ended, because they were going to end it, because you sure as hell couldn't engage them in a land fight. Too many people were dying. I mean, it was a world fucking war. You have to end it. Well, it's no different than the cops. What are you gonna do when somebody, you know, they shot the cop. You see the videos. All they did was shoot at the cops. They didn't have to kill him.
Oh,
really?
Amen.
He was just fighting with 3-4 cops, but then they tased him and he hit his head on the floor, cracked open his skull, and died. They're brutal killers. Well, here's an idea, though. Had he not fought with the cops in the first place, he'd be alive. Now,
hey, David,
I'm
going to chime in. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
When you're talking about the de-escalation, we want to de-escalate the situation at all costs. But, you know, let's use the city of Pittsburgh, Wilkinsburg incident where our canine was lost. Okay, now you're talking about a situation where it was a hostile situation. OC spray was used. Taser was used, baton was used, and then the last resort was the canine, and then after that, well, subsequently, the perpetrator was shot and killed, shot over 10 times. Okay, you know what? That probably could have ended. I mean, that whole confrontation lasted a little over 20 minutes and was put in the public's view to watch for 20 minutes, where it could have been de-escalated quickly the minute he brandished a weapon. You know, that could have killed those officers and subsequently would have if he would have been close enough. You know, there was an officer that already had him in his sights, gun pointed, ready to fire. That had I don't know how he restrained himself when that knife was pulled and he made a swing. And right at that point, I probably would have shot him. I just don't, you know,
Been
a tie. A police officer's hands, you know, you're stopping them from being productive here. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You want to pick and choose how the police do their job. Well, I'm sorry, you know, that's not how this works. You know, you break the law, there are certain things that that you're going to suffer from. You know, one, you broke the law and you've been called on it. Secondly, if an officer gives you a command, obey it. If you want to stay alive, don't pull a weapon. You swing at a cop, you're going to get knocked the hell out. You brandish a weapon, more than likely, you're going to be killed. So if you don't want any of those things to happen to you and you want to see your family the next day, it might be through bars, but you'll still be breathing, don't do those things. You know, and the public has to understand this. Get back to when policing was policing. I mean, I'm going back, you know, quite a few years where, you know, a cop could walk up to you, just like you mentioned, to stop and frisk. That's a very useful tool. Not only is it designed to protect the officer from harm and allowing a possible, you know, confrontation with a firearm and a shooting ensues, you're also protecting the perp at the same time. You know, you're saying that, okay, I've got your weapon, I've subdued you, now we can get to the brass tacks of it all. Okay, everybody's alive. You take away certain tools of the trade, I'm sorry, you are actually telling the cops, I'm going to tell you how to police, and either like it or get off the job.
I agree. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But unfortunately, our show has ended. So we're actually into the overtime. And I would like to get into this. We kind of got way off of where we were. And I would like to get into this more with you guys next week, if you don't mind, or if you can. I'll reach out to you, Ken, and see what we can do.
Sure.
And I want to appreciate everyone for calling in. I appreciate everyone, you know, listening. Love yous all. I appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
David.
I'm
just going to chime in real quick. Our canine support site is up and running, so our listeners know it is a Lesma site. It's affiliated. It's a sister site. Please visit it.
Absolutely. We'll also make sure it stays fresh on the page so people know. And, again, thank you for doing that for us, David. Greatly appreciated.
You're welcome.
See everybody. Take care. Stay safe.